Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Starting in an hour ago, new student. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Sean wants to weigh in. Sean, what is up?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Pretty good.
I just want to vent some frustration on the radio to some guys talking football. How simple is it when you got a good coordinator and a good quarterback? Have they ever heard of a hot route? When they're bringing 7-8 guys, it's easy to throw a hot route, right?
Yeah.
And then on the goal line, we got a handoff out of a shotgun and two pass plays. The best team in football, what do they do on the goal line, on the one-yard line?
They usually run.
I'm going to hang up and leave it up to y'all, but just vent some frustration. It's pretty frustrating to look at that game.
Yeah. Sean knows ball. Sean gets it. Like, we were hitting that a little bit earlier. Like, the second in goal from the one, the three plays there. I mean, they tried to run it with Chubb, and they went backwards, but they did it out of the gun. Went backwards there, so like, okay, now we need to – or maybe not backwards, but at least no gain, obviously. So now we need to throw it. They schemed up a pretty good play on third down. Like, it was there, just a misfire. Whoever you want to blame, did hit Nico in the hand. Should Nico have brought that down? Like, that would have been an easier catch, I think, than his touchdown catch.
Mm-hmm.
And Stroud led him too far. Like, I'm not blaming it on Nico. But a misfire there. I don't love that play at the one. I like it better for, like, the five, somewhere between the 5 and 10 yard line. So you have space. So you have room. There wasn't room there. It had to be perfect. Had to be perfect. And I think it's a bad spot to put your quarterback in where it's only a touchdown if it's a perfect throw. And also, you got to put it where the defender can't catch it. So that's why he led him a bit. And then you do this little, like, reverse bootleg to the left side, away from Stroud, strong arm, right? Out of the gun again, went shotgun three times in a row. No, I think you nailed it, Sean. I think you nailed it.
Yeah, and I think to the point about the hot routes, that's what we were discussing earlier as well. Like, is it – does CJ not recognize what's about to happen in front of him? Is he allowed to make those changes? Because it really felt like every time – and I know I'm sure it wasn't exactly like this, but it felt like every time that there was a big blitz, Nico Collins was 25 yards down the field.
Yeah.
He was running a deep post or just going deep, and – there was no chance to get him the ball. And really, there was no easy solution. That's where Nick Cayley deserves criticism.
Unless, just devil's advocate, I don't know this. Unless there is a plan in place and Stroud's like not doing it.
I mean, that happens all the time. It does.
I mean, that happens all the time in sports. Like, I mean, it happened yesterday with Yordan. Yordan, mm-hmm. don't run home. Don't run home, Yordan. We're scared that you're going to injure yourself, Yordan. Please stay here. Nope, runs right through the stop sign. Fromber, did he go rogue? At the very least, you know, he's called his own pitches at times. Mm-hmm. Henry To'o, like, kind of swarms too much, trying to attack Baker Mayfield on a fourth down on that final drive, and Baker's able to elude him, keeps the drive alive, Buccaneers win, blah, 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 blah. So, like, we see this happen where a coach will have something in place, and then the player fails to execute it. So, as a team, they're mishandling this poorly. Whether it's Nick Cayley failing to do his job and having a worst-case scenario plan, break glass, all that stuff, Cayley's either failing to do it or Stroud is terrible at executing it.
And
one of the two.
And honestly, neither one's better than the other, right?
Like, no, it's not like bad. You prefer... It's organizational failure or operational failure.
Yeah, and that's where like they just have to get on the same page or really figure out what's going on and why this keeps happening. And honestly, I think D'Amico should be able to help with this somewhere. Like, he has to, as a defensive-minded coach, he has to be able to look at his own offense and say, guys, what are you seeing here? Like, this is clearly seven guys coming at you hot. Like, are you aware of what's happening here? Or is there a plan to pivot? Is there an option route?
Yeah.
It's It just seems to be all – it's all bad, frankly, with the offense. There's little moments that are good, but it's just well below expectation. And I just – I don't know, Jeremy. I'm shocked still.
I think the entire city's stunned by how bad this offense has been, quite frankly. That's not hyperbolic. Like, they are one of the worst offenses in small sample.
Stunned and angry.
Yeah.
Last night was the loudest. I mean, I haven't been to like a million Houston games.
Flex. This guy. I go to a bunch of games.
I don't. No, I'm saying I don't.
Oh, don't.
I've never heard the amount of booing and as loud as booing I heard as I did last night.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. Like this feels different.
They're fed up.
They should
They're
be.
Fed up. That's why like the little like, I got into it, Larry and Stafford on Twitter today. That's why like these little like, head in the sand, Homer fanboys. Oh, how could you have any sort of criticism on CJ Stroud? Well, you have your head in the sand and you're just not going to believe that a quarterback could potentially be playing poorly. Like, if you don't see that, then you're just blinded by your fandom. Same thing with D'Amico. Like, oh, D'Amico would never do anything wrong. And as a man, he wouldn't. I agree. But, oh, D'Amico can't ever do anything wrong as a coach. Well, you have your head in the sand. Like, they're all. None of them are immune to criticism, especially with the way that they are performing. I thought one of the underrated things with Nick Haley yesterday, and look, a lot was bad. An hour and 20 minutes of football in the Houston Texans 2025 season has been very, very bad. I think the one thing that like, hey, no one's talking about this bad play call that I feel like should be talked about more. The 2-point conversion. It's a 19-14 game. Like, we're sitting here talking, well, the defense didn't get a stop. They allowed Baker to score, all of this stuff. Well, execute a 2-point conversion. You have a 7-point lead, and you either force Tampa to go for two, or they kick the extra point to try to force it into overtime. That was another terrible play call. Mm-hmm. I don't love the fact that C.J. Stroud took a sack on a 2-point conversion. I quite frankly think that is stupid. And, oh, well, he was pressures in his face. What is he supposed to do? Literally anything. Literally toss the ball into the air and hope. Literally anything is better than taking a sack. Nico Collins was on the field. How about you just throw a jump ball for Nico Collins the moment you feel pressure? Terrible play call. Pressure was there in his face right away, and then C.J. Stroud does a quarterback sin and takes a sack on a 2-point conversion. It was failure every step of the way, and no one's talking about the 2-point conversion. It could have been a 7-point game.
Yeah, because if you get that, it's just a totally different football game. Maybe you win this thing in overtime, and we're having a different conversation today. If you just
no
if you
doubt you're having, and look, you're still we're still having the don't ignore in victory what you would in defeat, but the tenor is a lot softer after a win.
Absolutely,
you can still be critical, but the tenor is a lot. We're not C.J. Stroud being traded for Puka Nacua is not coming up today. Nick Caserio being fired isn't coming up today. The tenor changes. Still can be critical. The tenor changes, but you lose. And there was a bunch of steps along the way that could have, flipped the switch, flipped the outcome of the game. That's whenever crazy talk begins. Texter says the overreaction's crazy today. That's what happens when you lose a football game. That's what happens when you're 0-2. That's what happens when you hire an offensive coordinator in the offseason to replace the incompetent offensive coordinator that doesn't look as incompetent today as he did 2 weeks ago, and then the new guy looks worse than the old guy.
What happens. But that's why I don't think it's overreaction. It's not a two-game sample size. Like, this isn't, two games into a Chip Kelly-led offense into which you're like, okay, they're going to figure this thing out, right? I mean, look how different the Raiders looked from week one to week two with Chip Kelly. This is a new play caller who's never done it before. The offense looks exactly the same. It's not the offense. Now, this is, I guess, on us. We made assumptions that it was going to be a more Rams-ish offense. It's clearly a Patriots offense. But yeah, that's why I don't think any of this is an overreaction. If you think today it's the Texans are not going to make the playoffs, there's nothing wrong with saying that. I mean, now history tells you it's a low percentage of teams that make it 0-2. We've seen the Texans do it before 2 years ago, so it's not impossible. That division is still very winnable this year. You can do that. But this team just doesn't look any better from last year to this year, and that's why everyone's wanting to point the blame in different directions. And really, the truth is, the blame has to go around really equally at this point. Caserio, D'Amico, Kaylee, Stroud, Popovich, all of it. Like it's all blame is equal at this point.
Yeah, it's been ugly. 713-780-3776. Just to throw more fuel on the fire, Brian McTaggart, Yordan Alvarez has a significant ankle sprain, Joe Espada said. Espada wouldn't put a timetable on anything, but it appears he's out for a while.
Joe Espada was asked whether Yordan Alvarez would go on the injured list, Jeremy.
He said he didn't know yet.
He said, did you hear what I said? This is going to take some time. Listen, one day at a time. I'm not going to give you days, weeks, and what we're doing next. So that...
It sounds like he's...
He sounds angry. Off the way it's worded.
Yeah, but it's so weird to me. Like, if he had a significant ankle sprain, the answer would be, yeah, he's going to be on the IL. But the other thing is, like, they didn't IL Kyle Tucker the first few days of a broken bone in his leg.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't IL. In fact, they had Yordan play through a broken bone in his hand, unbeknownst to them. So, like, it's a fair question. Like, what are we doing here?
I don't know, but this is...
Joe Espada got a little... Bad. He got a little chippy with the Astro fans yesterday, too. He's like, I wish there had been more people here to watch us win a big game. It's like, brother, you've blown a 7-game lead in the division.
There's a Monday night game going on that was half empty when it started, but...
Yeah, he did. He was like, yeah, I heard there was a football game. I wish more would have been here. Like, Joe, you haven't earned that, man. Like, you're playing poor baseball lately. I understand you got a big win yesterday and, like, your head's feeling big or whatever. You haven't deserved to say... Like, if you won a World Series last year, you win the division by 3 games, okay. We can have that chat. But you blew a 7-game lead, and you're talking trash to the Astro fan base? Not really the Astro fan base. I guess it would be the Houston fan base because they were at the football game? They were at the football game, Joe? And it's getting snappy. Like, if you told me that Yordan has a pretty significant ankle sprain, my immediate reaction would be, well, he's going to be on the IL.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. Yeah, pretty significant means more than 10 days.
Yeah, this sounds more like you're crossing your fingers that if you somehow go deep into the playoffs, you get him back.
See, whenever I see pretty significant ankle sprain, my thought is, man, I wonder if he could be back by the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not in the next 10 days. Like, well, Joe asking, like, that's not a fair question. I guess I would need to hear it.
To be fair, that isn't 10 days, basically.
No, it's like longer
15 days.
Yeah, you got the rest of this week, all of next week, and then it would open that next week. So, like, 2.5, maybe?
I think the first day of the playoffs is the 30th. So 14 days.
That's 2 weeks. 2 weeks to get the ankle better?
Yep.
I mean, that would still land on the IL.
Yeah. 2 weeks from today. Tuesday the 30th is wild card game one for both National League and American League.
So we got 2 weeks to get this ankle right.
Yep. I mean, the thing is they don't have to put
ankle,
him on the...
It's an ankle, dude. Just get in the box and swing the bat.
Yeah, they don't have to put him on the injured list because of the...
Why wouldn't you?
Because you would have to miss time in the playoffs, would you?
No, it's a 10-day IL for position players.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they changed it from 15 to 10.
Yeah, pitchers are 15, but he's not pitching these days, although he does got a hose. All right, 713-780-3776. I want to talk about all of the plays that happened in yesterday's game that swung the outcome of Monday Night Football. What were they for you? 713-780-3776. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Football is back, and it is spectacular. Love football. You know what I really love, though? I love Underdog. The Underdog app is my favorite app. I'm on it all the time. I won yesterday, too, by the way. They gave me a Justin Herbert free play, and then I combined that. I forget what I combined it with from the Raiders side, but you know your boy won. I got me a little victory yesterday on Underdog. You can get a victory on Underdog as well. Download the app. Playing on Underdog is so easy. It's so much fun. Pick whether or not your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, yards, interceptions, and much, much more. Also, you know what's new to Underdog? You can now pick your teams. You can now pick your teams on Underdog. That's new now for the last 2 weeks. Get your picks right. You could win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. So what's your excuse? Download the Underdog app right now. I'm actually looking at some of these baseball picks. Astros, Rangers coming up here in a little bit. Merrill Kelly, who kind of owned the Astros last time he pitched against them. Higher or lower 4.5 strikeouts for Merrill Kelly. Where are you at on that? You can play that Underdog right now. AJ Blueball, he gets the start for the Astros. Higher or lower 3.5 strikeouts. You like that? Jose Altuve's in the lineup. He's in the batting third. Half a home run. higher, you can get three times your entry. So get in on this. So much to play, so much fun to be had, so much money to win. Also with Underdog, you have the originals. You got your drafts. You got your ladders. You got your streaks. Start a streak today and win tons of money. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. Promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You are listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe. Prodigal Vault on Twitter. CJ needs to watch Billy Bob Thornton's rant on throwing outside on Friday Night Lights on repeat during film this week. Good call. I'm going to like that tweet. That's a good tweet. I watched Varsity Blues over the weekend for the first time in a long time.
Be my first time in ever time.
You've never watched Varsity Blues?
No, it's one of my misses.
Oh man, that's a good movie. Dawson's Creek is in it. He's the backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Friday Night Lights, hot take: the TV show is better than the movie. So much better.
Yeah. Yeah,
I will admit, I almost stopped watching Friday Night Lights after the first episode because they went quarterback, broken neck, and that, like, that's cliche. I don't like stupid stuff, stupid cliche stuff. I almost quit the show. I said, I'll give it one more week. We'll give it one more episode. And they hooked me, and I watched every single one.
It's very good. I probably bailed. I paused it for a while when the East Dillon Lions came.
Michael Jordan was the quarterback.
Yeah. I thought the stuff leading up to that was not good. But then when he joined the show, it got really good again, I thought.
It got a little silly when he left, but I was invested at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a...
Who was the big money man who was like NIL before NIL?
Buddy?
Like Buddy Garrison. That's it. Yeah. He was like paying players to like come play for his team. And it's like, it looked so taboo back then. And like now it's like, yeah, that's what they do.
It's like, yeah, even in high school, like, it's great.
There's NIL in the high school game out there in West Texas. And it probably always was. How do you think Mojo was so good? Odessa Permian.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think they were so good? They're probably paying. They were playing Booby Miles to come play some running back for them. I don't know that to be true. That's just me being a little silly right now. So some plays yesterday that I think could have swung this game. 713-780-3776. The obvious one was the whiff by Henry To'o To'o on the fourth down play. This is where Mapes and I talked about this. Mapes is like, get to the quarterback. You know, they're out this offensive line. I was like, you know, sometimes you get a little overzealous and you get Baker Mayfield who can make a big play out of your overzealousness, if that's a word. Henry To'o To'o goes in business for himself, trying to be the hero, trying to end the game. He goes in with too much swarm. He gets bit. Baker Mayfield extends like 30-yard gain. Mm-hmm. He makes the play there. Just bring him down. Texans win. Yay. Doesn't happen, and we know the rest of the story.
I'm going to go to the very beginning of the game for one of mine. The Aziz drop. The dropped interception.
That's a good call.
it was underthrown in his hands. Should have been a pick. Can't guarantee it changes the outcome of the game, but could have had a huge momentum swing.
I mean, they score on that drive. They score a touchdown.
They dog walked them. They walked up and down the field, running the ball, passing the ball. It was really the only play that they struggled against. On that first try, both offenses looked incredible, and you could have gotten your offense back on the field.
No, that was one I thought of as well, because at the very, like, even if you go three and out, okay, well, you had the ball, their confidence, if you believe in that sort of thing, is shaken a little bit. Baker's confidence shaken a little bit, if you believe in that sort of thing, maybe you don't. But okay, you can eat some time. You can punt. You got one of the best punters in the league. You can potentially pin them back. Now, that was one that was very, very critical. How about Titus Howard hold on the second possession? Because this took – look, do I think they would have scored? I can't tell you for sure that they would have scored a touchdown. They had second and goal from the one and couldn't punch it in and score a touchdown. But Nick Chubb converts. It would have been first and goal at the seven on the second possession of the game. Titus Howard gets called for a hold, puts him in a second and long. They have to settle for a Kyme Fairbairn field goal. I think that was another underrated play in yesterday's loss in a negative way.
Yeah, there was a lot of – there's some ticky-tack stuff happening from the refs on that next possession on defense. I think Foley got a sack or someone got a sack on Baker, but they also got an illegal hands to the face that would have made it for a third and long.
Was that the Stingley one? I think it was the Stingley one where it wasn't in his face.
Yeah, and then Petrie got hurt the next play. Obviously, he came back, but like it just – and then again, they just kept driving down the field and they scored another touchdown. So you have an opportunity to get them in a third and long, but you get the hands to the face penalty. And instead of being able to get off the field or make it challenging, that was the thing last night. The penalties were happening at the worst times. Like they were in, like your defense was doing the job a lot of times, or your offense, like the play you pointed out, and then they were just kicking themselves in the shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, third downs were big. Tampa was 6 of 14. Texans were 2 for 9. Like that was critical. Texter says Schultz falling down. He was wide open. Okay, is that the play where Buck and Aikman got the tight end wrong? Was that the one where Stroud was rolling out? That was really Harrison Bryant.
Yeah.
And then they said multiple times, and then Aikman caught it late. And then Buck was like, oh, my bad. I drove you down that street. But it wasn't Schultz. They're like, oh, Schultz fell down. And I'm like, poor Dalton Schultz is taking heat. He's actually playing pretty good.
Yeah.
He's your second best weapon right now.
That one movie had where like he caught in the side, like just kind of like just did like a little flip to the inside, got a big carry, a big yak there. But yeah, I mean, CJ did a good job breaking contain from the sack and, you know, on going, I guess, in the op, going towards his left, he could have got Harrison Bryant there, but he was eating the turf.
I mean, yeah, that was just kind of unfortunate. There was contact there, too. I don't think it should have been a penalty or anything like that, but it was more unfortunate, like kind of unlucky. Texture, why is no one talking about the trip that led to Tampa Bay's first touchdown? That was Charlie Heck on Petrie. The reason that I haven't mentioned it is because I don't like griping about officials.
There's too much that happened wrong in the game. Look, you have a possession in which they doink a field goal. You get stopped on a 4th and 1 at the goal line immediately after that. Then on the next possession, you block a punt, and then you have to kick a field goal. You're on the 1-yard line, and that's all you get was 3 points on 2 drives, in which the Buccaneers are handing you points. They could not do a better job of handing you the football game that you lost last night. So, yeah, I can't complain about officials when the players lost the game.
Yeah, since you brought it up, I do think it should have been a trip, Texter.
Agreed.
But I just don't like being that guy. Oh, the Texans lost this game because of penalties. No, they didn't lose that game because of penalties. Texter, there was a bunch of plays where the Texans defense was overzealous between the defense and the penalties. Unfortunately, it's the same old Texans. It does kind of annoy me with DeMeco, too, where it's kind of like, oh, we got to be better at this, and he kind of finger points. And we'll get into DeMeco finger pointing after the game yesterday because he kind of did. But it's like, okay, well, you're the boss. Like, make it unacceptable. Like, if they're going to continue to do it, pull their butts out of the game. Like, it's weird to me where it's like, we can't continue to have that each and every week. All right, but then you're playing those guys each and every week. It's continuing to happen. What's really being done here?
Mm-hmm.
So that part's a little frustrating to me. It seems like we run what we call. O-line does not call protection. CJ never audibles. See, he was supposed to. That was supposed to be different with this offense, but I didn't see any of that last night. Goodness, I hate this franchise so much. At this point, let the state of Tennessee have another Houston franchise. They can even be the Memphis Texans for the first 2 years out there. That'd be funny. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs used to be the Dallas Texans.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to move back to Arlington. Stroud's overthrown pass to Nico in the red zone. Is he talking about the 3rd and 1? Or was there another that he's mentioning?
Probably the 3rd and 1.
I think he's talking about the 3rd and 1.
I would guess.
Let him a little bit too far. Yeah, that was a big spot.
And Stroud had some other ones that were easy throws. I mean, guys were wide open over the middle, and he's just inaccurate. Because that's the thing with CJ, is he was so accurate his rookie year, and that seems to have just vanished.
His mojo is
a significant
gone.
Way.
His swagger is gone. It's gone. He was playing with a lot of swagger in year one, and then for whatever reason, now it's gone. I think he lacks confidence. He's playing a little timid. Is that because the offensive line has been dreadful the last couple of years? I think it's a fair assumption. I think it's a fair conclusion to land on. I think it's all part of it. There was one that I forget who posted this. I apologize. But I quote tweeted on it where like Nico Collins was wide open on a little drag, probably 10-yard drag. And his rookie year, C.J. Stroud is letting that fly before Nico Collins makes his break. Like there were plays his rookie year where like just a simple play like that, like a 10-yard in, 10-yard, 5-yard drag, whatever, where the defender in front, where Stroud was letting it rip when his receiver was still on the outside shoulder of the defender, but his anticipation was so great that he would lead his receiver to the inside shoulder of the defender and they'd have no chance. Mm-hmm. That is completely gone.
Yeah, it can't all just be – I mean, it's probably more concerning if it's really just feeling – the pressure of your offensive line and not having that faith in front of them, because there's got to be something else. Just he's just not playing well, and you know we saw an off season in which he was all over the place. He's on every podcast. Stop he's calling it. Himself the top five quarterback.
That's the reason?
No. Because this year he did the opposite, and he said he did the opposite. He focused on himself this off season. He said he turned down podcast interviews. He turned down appearances to do certain things. So like. He even took a different approach in the offseason and through two games. It's the other one. I'm on your Twitter account looking at the Dare
block. At Jeremy Branham.
At Jeremy Branham. This is another one,
when he got
too.
Ran over?
I mean, CJ runs for 7 yards to make it 3rd and 3, and Dare is in a play in which he is in front of CJ Stroud. So CJ Stroud's in the shotgun. Dare is a foot in front of him to his right. His only job there is to block. And he gets run over by a corner or a safety. And I don't understand why he's on the field for this play. He's a blocker.
He's your third down running back.
But he's blocking. He's a pass blocker.
They like him in pass protection.
Why is the fullback not up? Like straight up. Like why'd you call a fullback up from your practice?
Well,
squad?
He blocked a punt.
He did. But like why is he not on this play? It's a blocking play.
No, you're right.
Like and Woody Marks, we talked about this earlier. He can block.
There's certain changes.
That play is embarrassing.
I would make a few changes on the offensive side. Dare's not going to be my third down running back anymore. Woody Marks would be. I don't hate your idea of Jakob Johnson if he's going to be better in pass protection. And then I would play the young guys more. Now, they are getting Kirk and Berrios back this week, according to D'Amico Ryan, so that kind of changes that. Like prior to me knowing that, I wanted Higgins and Noel to get an uptick in snaps and Hutchinson and Watson to get a demotion in snaps. But now that Kirk and Braxton Berrios – which, by the way, Alex Early is going to be on the new season of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in case you cared.
Are you guys avid watchers?
Not at all. My wife did mention to me yesterday that she wanted to watch this season because she likes the cast. And I'm like, oh, who are the guys on this year's cast?
It's not really.
Is that why?
There's a lot of shows my wife has made me watch. I'm glad this is.
Oh, I've watched a lot of horrible television on the guise of watching with my wife.
Yes.
Yeah, some of them I do like, though.
It is interesting, the Texans, I don't know if these are all running backs because I only recognize one of these four names, but the Texans did work out at least one running back today. But I think it's four. They brought in Khalil Herbert as one of the guys they brought in today.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh. I haven't heard that name in 5 years.
Yeah, he was with the Bengals last year.
Maybe that's the Damian Pierce replacement.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Because I'm wondering if Pierce is, this is it. Healthy scratch.
He's not returning kicks ever again.
Yeah.
Like, he can't field ground balls. And, like, the new dynamic kickoff rule, especially with the new touchback rule to the 35, like, he's not going to return kick. And Noel was good.
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's one of the best parts of the game last night.
It was great because it helps the special teams. But at the same moment, it's like, how is that guy so good at returning and you're not letting him touch the ball on offense? But Justin Watson gets 20.
They don't trust
snaps.
Them. They don't play rookies, apparently, again.
Yeah. It's like Jeff.
I hope it's not that. I hope it's not just like, we don't play rookies, besides Ariante.
Let's get into the game management stuff. There were some people saying that D'Amico should have kicked the field goal prior to that 4th-and-1 going for it. Did Tampa let Chubb score the touchdown prior to the 2-minute warning? And then also, should the Texans have scored? Should Nick Chubb have went down as he was running into the end zone? Lamont, we'll get to you on the other side, too. 713-780-3776. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Are you looking to escape the rat race for the weekend? You don't like 0-2 football teams, so you need to get away. Well, get away to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Get away from the hustle and bustle of the job. Whatever's causing you stress and anxiety like bad football, escape the city, enjoy the relaxing great outdoors, and find your zen again at twocreekscrossingresort.com. From the open green spaces, wildlife you don't see in the city, beautiful majestic trees, and some of the best fishing you're going to find in Texas. They're Two Creeks, great fishing. They got a catch and release pond in the middle of the property too, which is great for the kiddos. Teach them how to fish. Can't beat it. It's just 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You can hike on their 92 acres of property. They got some kayaking for you. Are you still playing pickleball? Is that a thing? Because they have pickleball courts. Or just go have a drink by the pool. That's fine as well. Two Creeks Crossing Resort always taking care of their visitors. We were out there at the beginning of summer. Branham family had a great time. They had a food truck out there both nights. They had live music on a Saturday night. It was great. We stayed in the treehouse. You're going to love it. Branham kid, Branham baby, Branham family love the treehouse. Your family's going to love it too, but they have glamping as well. They have cabins right up on the creek. Those are gorgeous too. Or if you have an RV, they have RV hookup spots. That's great for you as well. They have the perfect stay for everybody. So book that stay right now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Get into the game management stuff in a minute. 713-780-3776. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. Lamont's on the HRP listener line. What's up, Lamont? You're in with the Jays.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Loud and clear.
Yeah, one thing, I don't know what accountability means inside of the city of Houston. You know, we say people need to be accountable, but as soon as you throw out suggestions of what should happen, now we can't do that. We can't do this. I'm out on CJ Stroud. I don't feel confident giving that guy $40, $50, $60 million a year. That dude is milquetoast. He's an emotional wreck since his buddy from U of H, Tank Dell, went down. I'm going to leave it at that emotional wreck. But what I did want to talk about is we used to give Bill O'Brien a lot of grief because Bill O'Brien used to always say, and you guys hit on this in the last segment, that he just don't trust rookies. And what kind of made D'Amico a breath of fresh air that he kind of leaned on his newer players, his younger players, and as it seems like all of these guys that we was hearing about that are rock stars, these two receivers from Iowa, and this young man from USC, it's like you see them in spot duty or something like that. It's almost like Nico Ryan's in regress too. I don't know. I have been going on this thing about, just like the Rams game, this game was the type of game that D'Amico Ryans like to play, these tight games, running up everybody's blood pressure in the fourth quarter, and then it can go any kind of way. It just so happens that he lost his time. I know you guys don't like, I know the radio people don't like hearing other radio names, but Sean Salisbury said, this is what you get with a defensive coach. They want to have a slug fest. They want to have a slug fest and make it so they have a chance to win at the end. So they have a chance to win at the end. In other words, forget the quarters 1 through 3. We're going to really turn it up in the fourth quarter for a chance for us to win. D'Amico Ryans has a lot to do with this. And CJ Stroud, we shouldn't be if that dumbass agent of his. Well, he ain't dumb, man, because he's making money. But if he's trying to hold us over a barrel, I wouldn't be afraid to let CJ Stroud walk, man. I'd even put the long neck white boy in there. Davis Mills.
A long neck white boy ever broke my heart. Appreciate it, Lamont. Rack 'em. He's over Stroud. He called him an emotional wreck.
He just cry.
Yeah, he's just in touch with his feelings. That's a big thing in 2025. I'm trying to be in touch with my feelings more as I enter my...
You're crying more these days?
Fourth decade. Nah, I still can't quite get there.
Okay.
Can't quite get there. Family stuff, maybe.
Yeah. But that's, you know, actual tear worthy.
There was something that he... Oh, yeah, the defensive... And we don't care if you bring up other shows.
Yeah, QB1's my guy.
We're kind of... We're like the... We're like the soup on E, where we just make fun of literally everything in Houston sports. I don't disagree with that take on a defensive-minded head coach, though. Like, I think it's sound. It's I'm not trying to, like, toot my own horn, but I did want an offensive coach. And here's another like, piggyback off of that point, because I agree with what Sean said, Lamont, and appreciate you bringing that up sincerely. That doesn't bother us. The other thing with a defensive-minded coach, and this was, like, this was the thing that came up last week. With D'Amico Ryan versus, like, Kevin O'Connell. I'm not even sure how we landed there, but we were having that conversation or on Twitter. I can't remember. But D'Amico versus Kevin O'Connell. Like, let's just call it a tie. Let's say that D'Amico Ryan's is to the defensive side of the ball to what Kevin O'Connell is to the offensive side of the ball. They're both incredibly effective, important, great at developing their side of the ball. The one advantage that O'Connell would have over D'Amico, offensive mind over defensive mind in this case, find me one player on the defense who has the importance and the value of the quarterback. So even if O'Connell and D'Amico were tied, the tie goes to the offensive mind because the most important position in sports belongs to the offensive side of the ball.
And it's not all, I mean, look at the teams that are having success that, in recent history. I mean, a majority of the teams that made the playoffs last year are coached by offensive-minded coaches. The Texans being an exception, obviously. The Detroit Lions, but probably the Steelers. It's a small amount of teams. The Ravens. Like, for the most part, it is an offensive-led position. I think that's a great point. I never even thought about that, honestly. Like, it's just because of the value of the quarterback having the offensive guy. But it also... If you get the hire right, it alleviates the issues that the Houston Texans are currently having, which is that you have to replace your offensive coordinator and hope for the best and installing a new system, where if you have an offensive-minded coach, yes, your defense can go through the same thing, but that happens all the time. Like, you can always find defensive – it feels like it's way easier to find a defensive coach to be your DC – than it is to find an OC.
Well, I mean, just the numbers makes it easier, right? Like, if you just went to failed head coaches, because, like, D'Amico gets a lot of criticism for not hiring an experienced play caller, which it's fine. Like, I completely agree with. So, like, finding a head coach who used to call plays, offense, defense, like, most of the coaches that are hired in the NFL are offensive coaches. Like, I'd have to go count them up and wonder if the trend has changed at all. It feels like it might be changing a little bit, but I would guess that there's more offensive-minded head coaches in the NFL than defensive-minded head coaches in the NFL. So if that is true, then the coaches who have been fired or retreads, they're now looking for coordinator jobs, there is a bigger pool to choose from than the offensive coordinator coach that has been fired.
Look at the Kansas City Chiefs.
So it's kind of math.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs, like
yeah,
because Steve Spagnuolo washed out as a head coach, the Kansas City Chiefs have the best – coaching situation in the NFL, even though it hasn't looked pretty every single week, because they have Spags as their DC, and he's not going anywhere. I mean, you do find those veterans. I mean, think back again to the search this last offseason. Most of the guys we're talking about are guys that, to be frank, most people that even talk about them, whether they're on the radio or on television or their fans on Twitter, they don't know anything about them.
Yeah, the only big name was really Chip Kelly.
Like, I'm not going to pretend like I knew a thing about Nick Cayley. I didn't even know who he was before.
We knew his resume. That's kind of the problem of hiring based on resumes. Like, you don't really know his scheme. You don't know which way he's going to play. And I'm talking about us, not the coaches. Like, I'm sure D'Amico, I hope, that D'Amico and, you know, Caserio, that he was vetted. Like, they knew what it was, like, what they were getting into. And I believe that they did. But, like, I don't really like resume hiring. Oh, he did this here. He did that there. Okay, well, what if he's really weird in a room as he interviews with you? Like, what if you don't think he's the man for the job? You're not hiring a coach based on their previous 10 years. You're hiring a coach for what they're going to do for you for the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I don't really love, like, the resume logic there. Conversation, too, might have to be, like, how far superior does a defensive-minded head coach have to be than the offensive mind to make it worth its while because it's not, you know, the quarterback. It's not that side of the ball. I think that he has to be head and shoulders above. I like DeMeco. Like, I don't really love this conversation. But, yeah, if all things were equal, offensive-minded head coach, defensive-minded head coach in the NFL, in football, where you have a quarterback, I'd go offense there. All right, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Let's get to the game management stuff. Kick a field goal as opposed to going for it, fourth and goal at the one. Some people are saying that. Some people are also saying that Nick Chubb shouldn't have scored a touchdown. That should slid down so Tampa Bay never gets the football back. You buying that? 713-780-3776. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? That was kind of the, I guess it was the bittersweet part of that game yesterday, is that afterwards I had a lot of stuff from Walmart that I could kind of go drown my sorrows in. I could comfort eat a little bit, thankful that Walmart was able to provide that for me. Did you know that Walmart has more than a half a billion items online? Find a huge selection online that you can't find in stores at Walmart.com. Branham family's been ordering from Walmart for several years now. We love it. We don't have a ton of time. We don't like to mess with a crowd. We don't want to turn off the ballgame. Well, I don't want to turn off the ballgame. So we order online without having to waste our time, without having to leave the house. It's great. Oh, it's too expensive. Online grocery shopping costs more. That's what you're saying, but you're wrong. You're dead wrong. That's not true at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. And because it's Walmart, you already know it, the prices are low. And they're fast, too. Walmart can deliver as fast as an hour. They're going to save you time. Use express delivery to get all the eligible things you need, like the groceries, like the home goods, like the prescriptions even. Walmart is changing the game. So when it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, throwing a party, think Walmart for all your grocery needs. From Chuck Roast to Texas Toast, in as fast as an hour, start an order right now at Walmart.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Did anyone know who Ben Johnson was before they hired him as the OC in Detroit? Not me.
No, but
I had no idea.
He lost 52-21 this weekend, so.
He did. Yeah, they did.
Hey, we got you on next week, Joe.
Can't wait.
AJ, Cowboy fan.
You listen to that game right here on ESPN 97.5.
Ted Emmerich?
Yeah.
Ted Emmerich. He's, I think he's doing that game.
I think so. I could be wrong. I got to look at the list.
It's a random Ted Emmerich shout out in Houston Sports Radio. Israel wants us to go picket in front of NRG. Laughing face emoji, laughing face
emoji.
Worked
so well the last time that happened.
Yeah, last time that there was a picket in front of NRG that I know of, at least sports related, was
defending Deshaun.
Wanting to keep Deshaun Watson in Houston.
Like when the allegations first started coming out, I think it was.
I think, was it before? I trust that it was before.
I don't think it was.
That's even worse.
I think there was, actually, maybe it was both. I think there was one before and after.
That's so bad. That's so bad. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Marcus, you're in with the Jays. What's up?
What's up, fellas? Yeah, after seeing how the team performed under Slowick, I kind of wanted DeMeco Ryans to go get an OG that has called plays for multiple years, and he didn't do it after picking Haley. So it has me wondering how much autonomy does he really have in picking these guys, or is this Casario's doing? Because I feel like being a rookie or a relative young defensive-minded head coach, he needs somebody who's been doing this for a while that can take the pressure off him as far as calling offensive plays, and I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree. I don't think it's not a perfect science. You know, if they would have gone out there and hired Doug Peterson, Mike McCarthy, and it would have gone this bad, we would have been saying the exact opposite today. You know, it would say, hey, how did you go hire one of these dinosaurs, these washed-up guys? You know, go hire someone new and young and innovative. So, like, it has to work out. But I do agree. I wonder, you know, what is his – how much say did he have?
Yeah, we'll never know.
We'll know. We'll find out.
Book about it.
We'll find out when Casario gets fired or DeMeco gets fired.
Yeah, maybe.
That story will come out one day.
My theory, and it's a total theory, it's not anything beyond that, is that DeMeco picked the first OC, and then it didn't work. So DeMeco gave Caserio more freedom to convince him who the new OC was going to be. I think if DeMeco hated Kaylee, he wouldn't have hired him. Like, yeah, I don't think it was Caserio handpicking the offensive coordinator. I think it was Caserio strongly urging DeMeco to pick Kaylee, and then if you like him, let's go with this guy. And he eventually did. A lot of people say Chip Kelly because he was rumored. Yeah, they didn't look great last night against the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean,
but Gino, they looked great in week one.
I can't wait. Gino threw that ball out of bounds on fourth down.
I missed that.
Yeah, it was a fourth down, and he threw it out of bounds.
How was it late in the game?
Yeah,
I turned it off with about 5 minutes to go.
I mean, it wasn't a great game. I'm tired. But like, still, it's like kind of like the CJ.
It's CJ at 2-point conversion.
Yeah, you can't throw the ball out of bounds on a fourth down.
I didn't realize you did that. That's a terrible look. That might be worse than CJ, because like, you throw it out of bounds, the play's dead. Mm-hmm. Like, CJ at least has the excuse of, I didn't want to like get it intercepted and they run it back for 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a bigger crime by Geno than it was CJ, no doubt. But Chip Kelly's the name that's like, you know, the big name here this past offseason. And then 2 years ago, it was very clearly Cliff.
Cliff, yeah.
Cliff interviewed for the Texans OC, which I didn't actually take seriously at the time. I thought it was Cliff like, hey, I'm showing that I have interest so I can still get paid. And I thought it was also like Cliff did a favor to DeMeco of like, oh, we're going to add clout to the hire because you're picking Slowick over me. I thought they were scratching each other's backs. I didn't think he wanted to actually be in the NFL yet, but of course came back last year with the Commanders.
Yeah, I think the Texans only interviewed one candidate that has play calling experience in the NFL.
When?
I don't think they actually interviewed Chip Kelly.
I thought that they... Oh, is that just him at the airport?
Yeah, there was like him at the airport and the team is interested, but like no one like actually, because they don't have to confirm it the way they would confirm head coach interview. So I think the only guy they actually interviewed was Lazor, Bill Lazor, who's on the staff.
Oh, yeah, who's on the staff.
Yeah, like I don't think they interviewed anyone else.
No, I think you have to be open with who you interview. I think it's very similar to the head coaching rules because of the Rooney rules. I think you do have to be public about it.
Because they interviewed Gerard Johnson, Nick Kaylee, Bill Lazor, Thad Lewis, Jeff Nixon, it looks like, from Syracuse.
Oh, the guys who they publicly interviewed. I think you do have to I think it's like a transaction.
So maybe those were the ones that were public then.
Yeah, because I think it's like a transaction in the NFL like log. Like, I know for a fact head coaches are that way.
No, you're right. I forgot about the Rooney rule, honestly.
I think the coordinators are the same. They don't have as – like, I think you have to interview one external minority candidate for coordinator jobs. It's two for head coaches. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Vera, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Vera?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you guys letting me call in. I mean, Nick Kaylee was about as solid as resume as he came, because he came from multiple schools. And this is not just because of a Caserio or John Carroll University connection or whatever, right? I mean, this guy had worked in multiple systems, so you figured, this is somebody who came with a decent thing. He had worked for Sean McVay, and you know, for the past 3 or 4 years, when there were a lot of Shanahan assistants hired as coaches, head coaches, whatever. The league defenses were starting to catch up to the Shanahan system. So he figured, you know, let's just take a branch out and go with McVay's systems, who seem to have done well. Kevin O'Connell is a great head coach, by the way. Even though, you know, McCarthy had a bad game on Sunday. So, you know, we figured this was a way, and Kaylee came with a pretty strong resume. The only thing I'm thinking is, was this something that the both Kaylee and Popovich, like, did they overestimate the ability of the offensive line to put together a passable game? Because I watched only the second half of the game, but even Ogunbowale, who was like praised so much as this great guy in pass pro, was pretty awful. I mean, he got bulldozed by Tyke Smith, and he picked the wrong blitz on the 2-point conversion and stuff like that. So there's just, you know, there was just a lot of misses there. Kubiak, the offensive coordinator, offensive head coach, struggled with a defensive mind until Wade Phillips came along, right? Just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on it. I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's the offensive line wasn't good last night, and it does cause problems for Nick Caley. And it raises more questions about, for me, what we're seeing with this offseason, the guys that you kept in place that were on this staff, and then just, you know, you fired the head guy, so you replaced him with the assistant. I don't think that always makes a ton of sense, and that's not saying Cole Popovich can't be a good coach, but when you're having this results, specifically in the second half, where CJ can't breathe, basically, in the pocket, he is getting attacked at all times. It's just, it's another thing I don't understand. I just don't understand their hiring process.
Yeah. You know what it feels like in a lower scale? It kind of feels like when they moved on from Culley and hired Lovey. Like, they kept a lot of the same coaches on that staff, where it almost felt like Lovie Smith was the interim head coach. It just, you know, went into year two as opposed to year one of Caserio. It was pretty similar on the offensive side. Like, okay, we're going to fire Bobby. We're going to hire somebody that takes his spot. And then they kept a lot of the same offensive coaches.
Ben McDaniels is still there. Yeah. Cole Popovich is still there. Adrar Johnson's still there. Like, it's still the core group of guys that were on your staff that matter most are the same. And I think that's strange. Don't you want Nick Caley to have coaches that believe in his system? I mean, the reports we were getting about Strouser was that he had never coached in the Slowick/Shanahan style of offense before. So there are things like he might not even knew how to coach correctly. So why are these guys all still here with Caley running a new offense? It's all strange. It's very strange.
It is pretty weird.
It deserves criticism.
It does. 713-780-3776. Let's get to the game management stuff. I promise this time. Should the Texans have kicked a field goal when they went for it fourth and goal from the one? Should Nick Chubb have slid down instead of running into the end zone with that blazing 4-2 speed he has these days? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
All right. A couple weeks ago, we had our listener party at St. Arnold. In the beer hall, it was an awesome event. You can have 20 people, 300 people. They have plenty of options for you guys at St. Arnold. Joseph and the crew there are really easy to work with. That's my favorite part of it. When we started talking about the listener appreciation party, it was another thing that we were going to be working on, and I want it to be as easy, as smooth as possible. They checked all those boxes. They've got the drop-down screen so you can watch. We had the Astros game on. Then we had the first game of the NFL season up there as well. So all of it is easy. The beer is great. They have wine, their cider, all of that. And, of course, their famous root beer as well, and since you're a listener to ESPN 97.5, you can mention my name or ESPN, and right now you can receive their brewery game package free for your event. The game package gets you a combo of dartboards, Jenga, cornhole, a pool table, and as a bonus, the photo booth. So you can get started right now at StArnold.com. Click on private events. That's StArnold.com. Click on private events.
ESPN 97.5.